Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million and a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house shook.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
Oh, yeah, it is on a Friday as we take you into the weekend as I get ready to head to Howard County to slay some deer and bring back some meat from my freezer, ladies and gentlemen. Jane Duker, how are you this afternoon?
Peachy. I'm glad the sun's out.
Let me go in reverse order first. Sue Thomas, how are you this afternoon?
I am fine, thank you.
Good to see you. We all have our hoodies on today. We dressed properly for this studio, didn't we?
Yeah, no, yes. I finally got the memo that says it's cold, yes. So I said, I'm not going to be cold today.
It's 38, I think, in here. Gene Evans is here, political consultant for Go Consulting, former executive director of the GOP in Missouri, was a state rep as well. Gene, good to see you.
Good to be seen.
And then Jeff Rainford making a return appearance. He's been dark on the roundtable for a while. We banned him for some behavior. No, that's just a kidding. But you, it's been a while though, Rainford. How are you?
It's been a while. Hey, listen, if you're not hanging meat in here, it's too warm.
Rainford, of course, former chief of staff for Mayor Slay and has his own consulting company, Rainford and Associates. Gene, let me start with you. Have you been appointed to any secretary position, cabinet position yet? Because there, you know,
not
lots of
know
appointments
of.
Right
no,
now. Nothing
no,
yet.
No.
Your reaction before we let our friends Jeff and Jane weigh in on the cabinet appointments, we'll get to a lot that we have to cover throughout this roundtable. Impressions so far. I mean, I'll be honest, a little uneasy about the Matt Gaetz pick myself. I don't think he gets confirmed, but I'm okay with everything else.
Well, you look across the board. I mean, it's hard to say that any of these are not an improvement about what is currently there. And it's interesting how much more scrutiny these are getting than, you know, they got 4 years ago. But I think something doesn't smell right about the Gaetz thing. I think there's something else going on there.
Yeah,
I don't
what
know.
Is it? I don't. Does any?
Oh, that's easy. I think that's easy.
Okay,
so
what is it?
There's three things. One, it's an exit strategy for him to leave Congress before the ethics report comes out,
which now is going to be buried.
Right. Number two is it makes us on the left get all apoplectic, which he likes to do.
Job well done.
Yes,
and number three is it's a loyalty test. It's a loyalty test for the Republicans in the Senate.
Yes.
Because everybody in the Senate, every Republican, is doing everything they can to bend the knee and kiss the ring. This one's really going to test their loyalty, and he'll be able to see the real sick pants from the fake sick pants. So that's kind of my idea. That's what
I think. That's interesting.
I don't think he'll ever get approved, and I don't think the president thinks he's going to get approved.
I think the people that voted for Donald Trump, by and large, wanted a shakeup. They wanted a disruptor, and that's what he's doing. He's disrupting. I think Kennedy may have a problem in the Senate just because he's not pro-life.
No, there'll be some challenges there.
Yeah. So I'm not saying he won't get confirmed, but
it's not only because he's not pro-life.
I'm not sure the president is pro-life. I mean, he goes one way one day,
yeah,
one
but they
day
don't
the
have
other.
To approve.
He's for the Florida Amendment, then he's against
they
the
don't
Florida
have to
Amendment.
Be, the president doesn't have to be confirmed by the Senate. So I think that is going to be a challenge for some senators because if you're running in a pro-life state on pro-life issues, you know, those questions are going to be asked, and he's going to have to answer
them.
Well,
he definitely has vaccine issues as well, maybe from the other side, but we know there's not going to be any Democrat votes anyway. I think his might be a little bit easier than Matt Gaetz, but who knows? Because, and by the way, if that hearing actually takes place, if Gaetz doesn't, you know, get withdrawn or whatever, pop the freaking popcorn, because that is going to be a really, really good hearing.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Or as Scott Jennings says, are you not entertained, right?
Right.
This is very entertaining. You know, it's like, what's going on now? Because I'm hearing that it's not going to get less interesting. It's only going to get more interesting on some of these appointments.
With nominees, you mean?
Yeah. With nominees. But, we got to kind of, he's got to kind of lay off the house now. It looked like maybe Sam Graves from the other side of the state might get transportation. I don't know how many more House members he can take without really disrupting the House. So we'll see. And I know Mike Johnson is going down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend to talk to the president.
Well, I think one of the issues, and Jane, I want to get you to weigh in on this. I know that people are questioning some of the nominees, but, you know, I've said this about Mayor Pete this week. What kind of executive experience did Mayor Pete have? He was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and he was gay. And that was basically,
he said, basically it.
And I think a lot of people have issues with the trust in these government entities, the CDC being, you know, first and foremost. So there's a lot that happened in the last 4 years that has led people down the line to say, okay, maybe we should trust a guy like RFK Jr. because this is not working in many situations. Now, for me personally, here's where I am. I voted, Gene, maybe you can relate with this just a little bit. My first president was 1984, Ronald Reagan. I was part of the Reagan Revolution. I always philosophically have wanted government to contract, not expand. It's always expanded. It's expanded in 88,
have to contract,
expanded
by the way.
In 92.
He won't do it, but they have to contract because the deficit's too high.
Absolutely.
And it's going to start wrecking the economy. But you have to have some expertise to be able to do
okay,
that.
Okay, but I'm going beyond that,
Rainford. He's not going to be able to do that.
I'm talking about dismantling some of this stuff. And you might be right. Maybe they can't do it. But I have some hopes that Elon and Vivek can go in there with the Department of Government Efficiency or whatever they want to call it now and actually... You're going to laugh. You're going to scoff. We'll see what happens
crypto.
Here.
I don't care about really him. I think Matt Gaetz, it is a way to get him out before that horrible report comes out. And I was really kind of sickened that Johnson said we're not releasing the report. So this is a cover up. It's a favor. And that's all it is. And it's, I mean, you're starting right off with a big cover up, and that bugs me.
You mean like not admitting that the guy that's in the White House that's been supposedly running the country for 4 years has been
hold on, Mark.
Not cognizant enough?
That's a great point. Oh. What happened to that guy?
Oh, it doesn't matter now.
That's
it doesn't matter.
He's making a lot, in a different way, he's making the same mistakes that the Democrats made. He thinks he won because he was not a Democrat. He thinks he's got some big mandate to go in and do whatever. He doesn't. And
I disagree with that. I think there's quite a mandate
Joe Biden thought he was supposed to be FDR the second. He wasn't. He was elected because he wasn't Donald Trump. He's going to make the exact same mistake, and he's going to take the Republicans, and just like Biden did, and drive them
into
the
shoals.
But
don't you think a fair amount of people in this country, and look, you can base this on whatever happened demographically in the aftermath of the election or the people who are listening to Joe Rogan, people want change here, and it's not just on the culture issues.
They want two things. They want the border controlled, and they want inflation tackled.
And they want crying down.
They don't want chaos. You know what?
That
he
is
got
chaos.
Elected. He gets to do what he wants. I actually said at one point on your show, I kind of half want Donald Trump to win because a combination of the challenges he has along with his own incompetence and his requirement that you have to be a loyalist, he potentially has the in this administration, I think it's highly likely he will actually destroy Trumpism himself through the incompetence and through the difficulties that he's going to face just with the way the world is.
And here's the thing. I mean, I don't care about most of them. I think Matt Gaetz was a joke. I think they're just letting him leave. I agree with Jeff that letting him leave and getting the report buried so that, you know, whatever. But I'm not on board with the Tulsi Gabbard and head of intelligence. That's insulting.
She's one of yours.
I know. It's insulting.
But why is it insulting?
She has zero experience, and that's an area. I mean, it's one thing to put somebody at transportation or something, but intelligence, our national security, in the hands of someone who has zero experience, I'm not for it.
I don't think she has zero experience.
She has none.
Well, I think she's a lieutenant colonel, first of all.
First of all, and she's
okay,
served
but
in
that
Congress.
Doesn't mean that she has anything to do with intelligence.
What are you looking for here? Are you looking for executive experience or
someone
that has been around government for decades and decades that hasn't done anything? Except for taking a paycheck and, you know, gotten a pension, because people want some action here. I think that's what the country is looking for.
But the challenge is something bad could happen.
The federal government's a very complex thing. Ronald Reagan brought in some of the smartest people to undo what he felt and I think probably needed to get undone. You can't take somebody whose top experience is running a Boy Scout troop and bring them in and say you're going to overhaul the Department of State or the Department of Justice.
Or defense.
It's not an easy thing. I get what he wants to do, but putting incompetent people in there and having them
Let's talk about the competency issue, because I get that. And as someone who's concerned about the country, mm-hmm. which is why I voted the way that I did, I understand that. I understand that issue. But I also understand that you have a country that has looked at the experts. Let's take Janet Yellen. And inflation is not transitory. They don't have any credibility. So all the people who are experts, who've been around government forever, they ain't getting it done, dude. And people know that, and they see through it. So they want something different. Could it be bad? Potentially it could be. But I think what's happening here is we're trying to shake things up. The message was sent to shake things up. And he's shaking things up.
I think
you know
the message
kind of
was
funny
sent that he's not a Democrat. That's, I think, the mistake that y'all are making. It's the same mistake Biden make. He thought he was brought in, elected to do something. He was elected because he was not Donald Trump. Donald Trump was not elected to shake things up. He was elected because he wasn't Kamala Harris.
Well, he was elected to shake things up by a good portion of the
you
American
know, you know who else peddled that nonsense? Was the stupid woke revolution. They came in with the same nonsense. We're going to be disruptors. I mean, I'm so sick of the word salad.
Disruptors. I'm not trying to disrupt anything. I'm trying to change things.
Well, that's the same thing.
The things that Trump talked about, and these people campaigned with him, people saying, well, he owes a favor to Kennedy or what? No, he told the voters, this is what I'm going to do.
This is completely
transparent. He said he was going to do this. You knew he was going to give Tulsi Gabbard something if you voted for him. None of this is like he fabricated something or acted differently. This is what he said he was going to do. This is what he is doing.
Well, on the Make America Healthy Again in particular, that was pretty much out there.
I don't care about that. I'm totally fine with it. He's a goofball, but it won't hurt anybody.
I know Republicans think differently. Trumpism to me, just like wokeism is, both of them to me are horrible strains in American politics. Mm-hmm. I think we're on a road to getting rid of wokeism. Now maybe, you know, Trump getting 4 years, let Trump be Trump, and he may himself destroy right-wing populism. I was 50-50 on, because if we got in there, she was going to have 4 years of a mess. Now he's in there, you know, your side's going to get four years of a mess.
Well, there's potential
for
that.
You.
Jeff Rainford, Rainford & Associates, Gene Evans is here, former executive director of the Missouri GOP, and Jane as well. Just quickly, before we get to the break, and we'll come back and talk about more of the broader implications in some Missouri stuff, but on the leadership vote with you know, Senator Thune, I didn't really care necessarily. I think they have everyone sort of on the same page. That might be more important than who is that, you know, majority leader right now, because you don't want these fractions like we've seen in Missouri.
Yeah, well, Roy Blunt told me more than a year ago that Thune would be the next leader, so he knew. People on the ground, when you are in a caucus, you know these people. You know what kind of leaders they are. They've already met with you. These folks who are tweeting or calling their senators and telling them who to vote for, they have no idea. They only know this public persona. They don't know the character, the leadership qualities of people that are running for leadership. I trust Eric Schmidt and Josh Hawley to vote. I voted for both of them. I trust them to make good decisions about who they think should be their leader.
Did Schmidt say who he was supporting?
He did not.
Hawley said Cornyn, so I didn't know if he declared, because it was a secret ballot.
I don't think he did, and good for him. We vote in secret when we go to the ballot box. They shouldn't have to tell people either. So I trust them to make good decisions. People say, well, Thune was against him in 2016. Well, so was J.D. Vance.
A lot of people were.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with having Senate leadership who supports the agenda, but also has questions. It's their job as a different branch of government to have those questions and have the discussion.
But on the House side, and Jeff, you brought this up, but look, the majority is very, very narrow. So you get to a position until there's some replacements for some of these folks where if someone's sick or they miss a plane, you're going to have a pretty big challenge at getting things done. Now, hopefully that'll be worked out here by the new Congress when we get to January. But obviously, the House was called as final this week. I'm not exactly sure why you have a Senate seat in Pennsylvania, which has not been conceded, even though it's been called, but very narrow in the House.
By the time it's time to swear people in. I think that y'all are going to miss Mitch McConnell. I know Republicans hate him.
I don't hate him.
He's kind of like Nancy Pelosi, doesn't have much of a personality. He was a genius in running the Senate. And if you want to overhaul the government the way your side thinks that they have a mandate to do, you will need really strong leadership in the House and really super strong leadership in the Senate. I don't know Thune. Maybe he's as tactician.
Look, he's a statesman. He's been around for a long time. And John Barrasso, I like quite a bit. He's the Wyoming whip, and the whip plays a very important role.
It's hard to run that Senate because those senators think for themselves. The House is a little bit different, and even there it can get a little crazy. I'm not saying, I don't know Thune. Maybe he'll be just as good as McConnell, but if the president wants to get his cabinet members in. And if he wants to get his agenda passed, it will take a lot of skill on the Senate side because, you know, 53 is not 60. So
no doubt. And that's why I'm glad Eric Schmidt decided, even though he might not have been top choice for attorney general, he's going to stay in the Senate and help work and shepherd that legislation. So Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. We got one segment down, two more to go. Hang in there.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hey, it's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. We got a lot to go to after the roundtable, of course. Sue will have a Friday edition of Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little entertainment with Paul Hall, and Kusumana will be here. And then something I'm really looking forward to, well, actually both guests in the 5 o'clock hour, Michelle Tafoya will be here, and my friend Gary Stromberg, who... big-time PR guy in Hollywood. His agency used to represent the Rolling Stones and other big bands, and he's got a podcast out about the Rumble in the Jungle in 1974, and it's a fascinating story because Gary helped produce the music and the entertainment for that. So he's coming up a little bit later this afternoon, plus an audio cut of the day. Jeff Rainford is on the panel, Gene Evans, Jay Duker. Jeff, you and I spoke earlier this week a little bit, just kind of talking post-election. We had not done that yet, so I want to, because you are a good person with the numbers, and not that you're always right, especially on this panel. But
by the way, I don't even think I'm always
right.
No,
and I know that, and I appreciate that.
I make it up as it goes.
Just what you're, because we see, like from my perspective and Gene's perspective, we see a lot of people out there that are very angry on the left. We see people in the world of the punditry that are still confused. We see Tashar Jones talking about white supremacy and bigotry and xenophobia. So what happened here in your estimation? I know that you already made it clear you don't think it's a mandate, but we're seeing numbers now that are emerging from...
We lost. He did not win. We lost, and we did our best to lose. I guess I
and
think,
thank you for that. We appreciate that. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, now, although I'm predicting you're going to give it right back to us, but that's a different issue. No, I think we did a lot wrong. Number one, the biggest thing I think, and it's not the only thing, but there's two things. One is we allowed there to develop what I called the anti-American wing of the Democratic Party, and we allowed that to happen. When Dick Gephardt, which is what I think we need to go back to, when Dick Gephardt was the congressman from the 3rd District, which was a Democratic, even in Missouri, was a Democratic district, then he focused relentlessly on middle-class people and working-class people. It didn't matter if you were white, black, Hispanic or whatever. And what people also don't remember is it was Democrats who made Thanksgiving a national holiday. It was Democrats who made Veterans Day a national holiday. And we made Columbus Day a national holiday. And we started...
I'm sorry. That's Indigenous Peoples Day now, though. You have to correct that.
We started Columbus Day and the first Christmas tree lighting. And we've gotten away from all of that. And, I mean, we decided we were going to do coalition politics, but then we didn't understand our own coalition. We assumed all African Americans think alike, and we took them for granted. We thought all Hispanics thought alike, and that if we opened up the border, Hispanics would be for us. And there are some really dreadful, out-of-touch decisions that were made by Democratic politicians in the safe states, California, New York, and pushed by, I think they call them NGOs or something like that, nonprofits and think tanks. And, you know, we could talk 3 hours about it, but I said this on your show every time I was on the last 2.5 years. If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee and if he wins, it's because we lost and we lost.
Here's the thing. I mean, when the Democrats decided to take, you know, fairness and non-discrimination and weaponize it so that people feel unsafe, and that's where we are. I mean, we don't enforce crime because it's racist. You know, we allow universities to be taken hostage by brats. That's when people decided that, you know what, you're creating and you are seeking to create anarchy. All this other nonsense that you talk about, nobody cares about that if they're not safe in their own home. And it all does relate to crime. It relates to, you know, illegals coming over the border and hurting our citizens. It relates to urban cities that are a mess. And we're living in one of the biggest messes. And, you know, we decided that that's what's going to happen. And the sanctimony, like, it's still happening. The sanctimony about telling people what they should think, what they should feel. And clearly, Democrats were the ones that were not in touch with the feelings of America.
How much? Here's a question for you. And we didn't talk about this last Friday, I don't think. But how much do you think, because I think it was quite a bit, the overreach of COVID had to do
Well, that's part of it, because people are like, you know, you have reached way into my world. And I think that you know, our kids, I mean, it really hurt our kids. And people who had
it
kids,
it was awful.
I mean, they'll never forget it. Like, these kids, and think about it, the young men, you're seeing these videos with the frat boys, the bro culture. They're the ones that lived through first Ferguson and all of that, and then COVID, and people, enough is enough.
Yeah, what was it? You know, this kind of went viral from Mizzou. I think it was Sigma Nu. I don't know my Greek system.
Yeah, I think it was Sigma
Nu. I was a GDI, so I don't know the Greek system, but they were like dancing in front of the house.
I didn't know it was Mizzou the first time I saw it. But so this is the broadest coalition of working people to come together and vote for president in a long time. If you look through the demographics are really about working people. And I remember an Uber ride about 2 years ago where the Uber driver, with his thick accent, I don't know where he was from, a naturalized citizen, told me Republicans are the party of working people and Democrats are the party of people who don't work or don't want to work. And working people, black, Hispanic, white, whatever, that work and love this country, don't want their daughters getting mowed down by boys in sports. The culture issue is still there. But working people that go to the grocery store and spend money in the grocery store, we're fed up. So yeah, really, because wealthy people.
But here's how we blew it in Missouri. Let's take a look at Missouri. So in Missouri, the voters actually agreed with have over the last few years agreed with Democrats on a number of issues. So yeah. They enshrined abortion in the Constitution. They approved raising the minimum wage two years ago. They expanded Medicaid. Before that, defeated right to work. They actually like a lot of Democrat policies, but they can't stand Democrats, and that's kind of the heart
of the
problem.
Well, I mean, and it's this sanctimony and this, I mean,
in order for a Democrat to win here for the last several years and to raise the money, they have to take East and West Coast money, which means they have to align with those progressive views, and they can't be a Dick Gephardt, I mean, Democrat, or a Jay Nixon Democrat. I mean, Jay Nixon didn't embrace any of this stuff, and he still doesn't. And folks who...
And neither did Chris Coster.
The people who come on this roundtable who are on the left, you know, there's a few aberrations. Smith's crazy. We know that. We all know that. I love you, Jeff.
But he's a good guy.
But you guys, Jane, I've never... You've always gotten it.
I've
always gotten it. Jeff, you get it, right? But see, this is where the media plays a role, though. I really think that the media... Because I see reactions from people across the country. And one of the things I want to say to them, and I'm not doing it right now, is just read... Don't watch Fox News. I'm not asking you to. Read what you're... Uri Berliner said in the spring about NPR and the bias that exists there. He was a guy that was inside the walls of NPR. He said, this is not the way that we should be covering stories. It's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's bias. It's agenda journalism. That's a big part of why people are reacting the way that they are right now, I think.
But what I think that one solution that could happen right away is at all levels of leadership, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, the House Minority Leadership, the Senate Minority Leadership, state leadership, we need to start putting, not all of them, but at least some of our leadership in the Democratic Party need to come from battleground states and battleground congressional districts. If we start doing that and giving those leaders, those senators, and those congressmen a voice, not the whole thing, but give them a voice
in
our
caucus, I got one for you. And he wrote this week, Andy Beshear in Kentucky is a guy that could be one of the standard bearers. But your party seems way away from Andy Beshear and Josh Shapiro.
I'm Satan, because I have been saying this for years. I'm like, Democrats are getting slaughtered because of this and the tyranny of the minority. OK, that's another thing that really people are done. We're not going to take 0.1% or 0.0001% and focus all of our time while the rest of the population is not getting the benefit of any governing.
That's why that ad was so effective, where it was, you know, Kamala cares about they, them. President Trump cares about you, because some of the exit polling show that people said, I felt like Democrats, or, you know, Harris was too focused on fringe issues and not
That's because those are 80-20 issues. Yeah. Those are 80-20 issues.
Well, then that's why I don't... All this talk about Trump, he is not a right-wing... The stuff that he's pushing is 80-20. The stopping the border problem, the crime...
I still believe that it had nothing to do with Trump or Harris. This has to do with...
I don't think
there is a Democratic... I mean, if Joe Biden had stayed, we'd still have the Islamic freaks messing up the universities.
Well, they're still doing
it. Exactly.
But it won't last too much longer.
And right. And I, you know, so it is time for the Democratic Party to take out their trash. And, you know, we started. We got rid of Cori Bush. We got rid of Kim Gardner. I mean, we're trying to do that locally.
But, I will say one other thing, though. I think if we as a party, and I experienced this with Francis Slade, the mayor, if we as a party were to address the meat and potato issues that ordinary Americans have, they might give us a little bit of leeway on the crazy stuff we want to do.
Exactly.
But when you lead with the crazy stuff and you don't
do
the meat and potatoes thing, and when you look down on people, and when you don't even understand Hispanic men and African American men who are supposed to, you're taking for granted, you got to make some big changes.
Well, when you refer to Hispanic people as Latinx, they hate that. Nice. And you know, the LA Times
is doing it.
They still do it.
Yeah. They make up terms.
God bless you.
They make up terms. I mean, the word salad. I mean, and then, I mean, look, these people who are losing their minds, I mean, you know, and I know that it's a, you know, Twitter, you know, they pick out the goofiest of the goofy. But I mean, this is insane world. And I feel like we've infantilized our party. And these people are not functioning. They're not functioning adults.
Who's
Democrats,
the
a lot of these.
I like that word. Are you basically saying a bunch of babies? Is
they're
that what
acting
you were saying?
Like, yeah, we turned them into babies.
Jimmy Kimmel led the way.
Because they're whining and it's all about them. And I mean, people
Rain for
are
final
dumb.
Word on this before
we
break.
Need James. He's too old now, but we need somebody like James Carville to come back. Remember all he said over and over again, it's the economy, stupid. And he's right. You get the meat and potatoes, and it's complicated. I get that the economy is tough, but we need a guy like him, which is we don't let anything get in the way of addressing people's kitchen table issues, and then the rest of it is gravy.
Well, the grocery store in particular, you know, I posted something, maybe it was about 6 weeks before the election, and we had all been kind of experiencing this. Doesn't matter what socioeconomic region you live in. I went to a Walmart, my Walmart in High Ridge, I love that Walmart, and I got like six or seven items, and I took a picture of it, and it was like $65. It was just ridiculous. I think it was $56, and I had people guess, and it was so relatable because we've experienced that. Joe Scarborough mentioned something, you know, a couple weeks ago about $3 butter, except it was $7 butter.
Right.
And he didn't realize that it was $7 butter. He said, hey, is that, you know, framed in gold? No, that's how expensive things have gotten. And families can't afford to feed their kids, which is a big problem. One more segment on a Friday Reardon Roundtable coming up. One more segment to go here on a Friday. Jane Duker with us in studio. She's going to hang in the next hour as well. Jeff Rainford with Rainford & Associates. Gene Evans, who is with Go Consulting, former executive director of the state GOP. I spoke with Mike Kehoe a week ago after the election, Gene Evans, and I was, you know, I didn't want Schmidt to leave the state, but I was thinking ahead, Gene. This is what I do. And I thought, you know, if Schmidt goes to be AG, you got a Senate seat, I thought I'd be perfect for that. And he said that there were a lot of people that thought the same way. But outside of my name, and I guess we're going to figure out what's going on in Missouri politics, because Schmidt's not leaving. He made that clear. But what's happening with Mike Kehoe trying to put his administration together right now?
Well, he's got his transition team put together. Contrary to what had been noted in some local newspaper, he was not planning ahead. I mean, I saw him. I spoke to him. Anybody who spoke to him would tell you that he did not start planning or putting his transition team together until after the election. So in a way, they're a little bit behind. But he does have a transition team. He's got a lot of really smart, experienced people on there. And he's got to hire a lot of people. I mean, it is a transition. It's a new administration. So they're doing that. The Senate caucus was the last 2 days. The new Senate. There's a lot of new senators. The House has a caucus next week.
So explain what's happening on the House side. Is that becoming somewhat of an issue right now?
It's an issue. Jonathan Patterson, who is a surgeon out of Lee Summit, is the speaker designee, and that was all voted on prior to and confirmed last week or two. Like right after the election, they go in and they vote. And there was no one who challenged him. But a couple days later, a local state rep, Justin Sparks, announced that he's going to challenge him for speaker. And do that on the House floor, because it has to be confirmed on the House floor by an actual vote where you push a button. So I'm not sure that
private.
It's not private. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. Jonathan, if John Patterson were in any danger of losing his speakership, somebody would have challenged him sooner.
But is Sparks doing that based on some reaction to the abortion issue?
There's some concern about that, yes. So when John Patterson was running, he actually said Amendment 3, or he said the abortion ban is not working in Missouri. Now, when I spoke to him about it, he said that's because there are just as many abortions, if not more, in Missouri than there were before they passed it. So clearly there's an issue with that. He said he wasn't going to vote for Amendment 3, but he would follow the law. And so now there's pushback saying you're not a real Republican if you want to follow the law, and we need
something
different.
You got to follow the law.
Well, you can follow the law, but you can also change the law and put another constitutional amendment on. So.
Well, and I think there's going to be a push for that. That will happen.
They should follow the law, but they also have the right to put another amendment.
Right. So I think those words, you know, taken at an event without an explanation, caused pause for a lot of pro-life folks, particularly in the grassroots of the party.
But what's going to happen with that issue? Look, I one of the things that gets frustrating, I think, for a lot of people is they see the people in Missouri vote on something. I didn't vote for Amendment 3. I didn't like it. But right. I understand that it passed. And the majority of people in Missouri decided that it passed. So is the legislature going to go in and then try to undo that?
There's a couple things they can do. There's a lot of ambiguity in the law, so there are some things they can do to try to clarify that ambiguity. And then the other thing is they could actually propose what's like an amendment that would get passed through the legislature and then go on the ballot again, which is what we did with Clean Missouri. So Clean Missouri passed, and then when I was at the state party, we pushed for a Cleaner Missouri. That got on the ballot, and it passed, so it kind of clawed some of that back. So they can do that, but it's got to go through the legislature, and then it has to be voted on as well. So they'd have to decide as a group what that language looks like. The other thing they can do is try to adjust things based on the ambiguity.
But it raises a really good question about how you want your state governed, because when you take all of the voters in the state of Missouri, they want abortion allowed in some manner. Mm-hmm. However, when you do it state rep, district by state rep, a strong majority of representatives live in districts that overwhelmingly don't want abortion. So if you do it by the people get one person, one vote, then we should have abortion allowed at least in some restricted ways. If you are like do it, if you're looking at it from the Republican Senate and House caucus, almost none of them are in swing districts, and their people in their districts don't want to do it. And there's a majority of Republicans in both of the chambers. So how do you govern yourself, by the people or by the representatives? And that's really what it's going to come down to.
Look, we can keep relitigating and relitigating. At some point, people are going to get ticked, and they're going to have to, you know, the House is not going to change anytime soon. But, you know, Joe Peerless got closer than people liked. I mean, I think that the Senate, you know, we're one senator away from no veto-proof majority. And then that's, you know, so they got to think about much they want to redo this.
Joe Peerless is a great guy. I like him a lot.
A lot of Republicans supported him.
More than twice as much money as David Gregory in a district that is trending to blue. And he lost.
Well, it's going to go blue because we're realigning ourselves.
Well, it depends if the parties change. And we had at least three Republican representatives who beat the top of the ticket. They outperformed Harris and their districts by between 5 and 10 points in tough districts. So clearly there was an opportunity here for Democrats to take more control in the House and the Senate, and they didn't do it.
So I agree with you. 53% of Missourians vote for abortion, which is supposed to be our number one issue. So it won. And our top candidate for governor lost by 19 points. Right. I mean, something is badly wrong with that picture.
The disconnect is not great. But I also think that abortion is the kind of issue that, you know, neither side needs to be overplaying their hand. Democrats have overplayed their hand for a decade on issues that people
are
upset about.
There are plenty of Republicans out there. They may not be vocal Republicans, but plenty of Republicans who are on the middle of that issue. Yes. They're going to vote for Mike Kehoe and other Republicans, and then they voted for Amendment 3.
Well, there are a lot. I can tell you, I know tons of businesswomen and people I've known my whole life who are not involved in politics, females who vote Republican because of fiscal issues, but they voted yes on Amendment 3. They don't probably listen to talk radio. They don't go to like county Republican meetings, but they're voting yes on Amendment 3. And they probably didn't know that much about it other than what they heard on TV.
Sure.
Right.
But so, that's why the ads are on.
Right. But I think Kehoe will put together a very good team. His chief of staff is a great guy. And I think
who'd he pick for that?
Adam Gresham, who works with him now, and he's a great guy.
He's the head of transition, but he hasn't named him chief of staff.
He will be. mean, he's putting people in positions.
Well, we're naming him today. We're going to name him chief of staff. Yeah. Adam, congratulations.
I think he's good for St. Louis. He wants to help St. Louis.
I know. I mean, that is a good thing about Kehoe.
He really does. And as long as the mayor and the county executive, the current one or the future ones, don't poke him in the
eye. Well, there you go. That's the issue, though, isn't it? Come on. I mean, seriously.
Well, no, I think he does have good intentions. I'm hanging on that word that the future is coming. I mean, I think we're having... Look, I think there could be a change. I'm sorry, but I think that Tishara... I mean, look, her cohorts. Remember on Election Day, she got under the arch with Kim Gardner and Cori Bush and said, there's no light of day between us.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
I mean, the whole dog and pony show. Well, honey, there's one left, and it's you.
Well,
and
I
think that's a problem. Hold on real quick. And then I think that Sam Page is in trouble. And, I mean, if we can actually change that dynamic, that would be...
We have hope.
We have hope. I mean, we have hope. And so I think I like your words, Jeff.
I've visited with a lot of newly elected senators recently, or senators who've been there on the Republican side in the last couple of weeks. And I hear over and over again, we have to do something about the city of St. Louis and the whole region, because even though I don't live anywhere near there, or people say, don't worry about it, I understand these are sitting Republican senators that this is a problem. And if the city fails, it's an anchor, and it takes the whole rest of the state down.
We're the economic engine.
Between the governors and the state. But we have to have more cooperation from the leadership here that they're not anti the state senator, the state legislature, or the governor, but let's work together.
But how can you have any confidence of that when the first thing that Tishara says in the aftermath of this is it's bigotry, xenophobia, white supremacy, blah, blah, blah.
Well, except that, you know, what she really believes, I don't know, but I think what we're seeing
ding, 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 ding.
Well, and every other politician. Every other politician, okay, including Matt Gaetz and others. But what we don't know, what I think you were seeing there is that's what her campaign is going to be. I think that's what she's going to say is, if you don't vote for me, you're racist and you're a xenophobe and you're anti this. And I think that's a preview of coming attractions.
And it'll be interesting to see.
That's the Democrat playbook. But guess what? It's not working anymore.
Right. And if they don't read the leaves, then look, I think the city of St. Louis is a little bit unique. But when you look at turnout, I mean, people in the city of St. Louis don't vote.
Yeah,
and that is frustrating.
It was not even. I looked it up by ward. In St. Louis Hills, where Kara did really well last time, 72% of the people voted. Mm-hmm. In the three north side wards, all of them were under 45%.
Interesting.
It was not evenly down.
We gotta wrap it. Rainford, good to see you. Gene, thanks for coming in. Jane's going to hang out. Another Reardon Roundtable in the books.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.